Time reading Philemon. There's only one chapter here, so we don't need the chapter, but we need the verse, and we'll begin with verse 4 today. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Because we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, my brother. What a wonderful testimony of Paul about Philemon, his brother in the Lord. And this section is actually a prayer. Although it's a letter, it's a postcard written by Paul to Philemon. And at first glance, when you read this text, it would seem as if Paul is flattering Philemon, talking about these good qualities that he has, these characteristics of his. In English, we have a term, it says buttering up, softening up a person right before you ask him to do something. But that is not the case. Paul is not a hypocrite. Paul always speaks the truth directly as it is. The word unhypocritical means sincere. Remember the pots that we mentioned one time that they would fill in the cracks with wax and they would paint over it. And then when a housewife would put it in the oven, the wax would melt and she'd find out that she had bought a leaky pot. There's no hypocrisy with Paul. Paul says it like he is, and he says it like he means it. And when he greets Philemon, and he thanks God about him, and he talks about the characteristics of him, he is truly grateful and thankful to God. But this is expressed in a prayer. There are times in our life that we make plans and we live our life. And then as an afterthought, we pray about it. And not only pray about it, and we say, oh, in Jesus' name, as if to kind of add a little bit of legitimacy to our prayer. To bring God down from heaven and involve him into our everyday life and the plans that we have already made before we consulted with God. But not with Paul. From the context of what we read, this is not the first time he's praying for Philemon. He says, I always pray for you. What this tells us about Paul is that Paul, and we've talked about this before, Paul was a praying man. He prayed all the time. He prayed during the day. He prayed at night. He prayed when he was in jail. He prayed and he sang in jail when they beat him up in the city of Philippi, resulting in an earthquake. That was an awesome prayer. Philemon was on Apostle Paul's prayer list. And it's good to have a prayer list. Paul had a prayer list. He prayed for Philemon all the time. Paul considered Philemon to be a brother. Not just a brother, but a beloved brother. A fellow servant. A co-laborer for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Paul calls him a brother together with Timothy that's with him in Rome right now. And you have a little triangle of brotherhood, of love among the brothers. And this was sincere. Paul's not making this up. Paul loved Philemon with agape love. God's love. The love that God loves us with. And Paul's greeting includes Epaphia, whom most scholars think was his wife. And think about this, if this letter is written on behalf of Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus, who is going to return with this letter to his master Philemon, who he ran away from. And in the world of the day, if a slave ran away and his master found him, he had every right to do anything he wants with him, including put him in jail, including killing him personally. He had the authority and the power to do so. And if this was truly his wife, think about the fact that she also carried the loss that Philemon carried for whatever it is that Onesimus took from the house. As a believing wife, and she's a Christian, and as the church met in her house, she, as Philemon's wife, I'm sure at many times had lunch or dinner at her house. She was the hostess, and she had been hospitable to perhaps Paul and Timothy and some of the other pastors as they traveled around. And Christians, as they came to town, they would meet them in her house. And so no doubt, Paul is also not just asking Philemon, but it's going to involve his wife, Apphia, in forgiving this runaway slave that took something that belonged to her also, not just to her husband. As long as we're talking about family, he's greeting Archippus here that many believe was their son. Now stop and think about this. As the son of a fairly wealthy man, that at least we know he had a house big enough for the church to meet in his house, and as a man wealthy enough to have at least one slave and maybe more slaves, Archippus, as their son, he would inherit his father's wealth at some day. And so whatever it was that Onesimus took, he took it from Archippus too. And he felt a personal loss there, and he may have had some animosity there. And Paul is going to call upon not only Philemon, but Apphia and Archippus, when Onesimus returns, for all of them as a family to forgive this person that did some wrong to them. But not just them, but the church. Think about it. Here is the church that's going to meet, and here's this man that's going to come that has done wrong to a brother in the church. How do we feel when somebody says or does something that negatively affects our life or our Christianity or our church? And yet Paul is going to be calling them, because Onesimus is truly repented, to accept him, to forgive him, and to not consider him now as a slave that returned, but to accept him as a brother and as a member of the church. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, "Behold, all who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. All things are past, all things become new." Now, there is a price to pay for the things we do in life. If we do something illegal, there is a price to pay for it. If you get a ticket, you have to pay the fine. You have to go to traffic school. You have to do whatever it takes. Onesimus has to pay the fine, but he doesn't have anything. That's where the grace of God comes in. Just like God forgives us our sins by his grace and his mercy, he's going to be asking Philemon to forgive. And Paul, as an intercessory, says, if he owes you anything, I will restore it so that the bank account is full. Charge it to me. Put it on my account, he says. Now, Archippus is mentioned in Colossians chapter 4. He may have been a minister there. It seems as though he may have been the minister of the local church in the next city, Laodicea. And it is possible that this young man was, just like Timothy, maybe a little bit ashamed, maybe a little bit exhausted, maybe a little bit timid in his faith. Because Paul, writing in the Colossians, encourages, and he says, tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry that he received from the Lord in order to fulfill it. When we read Revelations, we read that Laodicea is church number 7 there. And that is the church that is lukewarm. That is the church that isn't hot, and that is the church that isn't cold. And Jesus says, I will spit you out of my mouth. And perhaps as the servant leader, or as an elder, or maybe even a pastor of the church of Laodicea, Archippus may have already experienced this character in this church and was a little bit timid and a little bit depressed about it. And Paul is encouraging him. And that's what I want us to remember today. We'll pick up next time. But when Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, Paul, as a praying man, as an apostle, as the leader of Christianity of the day, he was an encourager. Do you know what the word encourager meant? It means you come alongside and you help somebody when they're down. And he's encouraging. He's not only encouraging Philemon and Apphia and Archippus. Remember, he encouraged Timothy. He says, be a good soldier. Don't be timid. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. And to the church, he's writing to them too. It's a sincere prayer. And his prayer includes four points that we'll pick up next time, God willing. First of all, Paul's prayer life was an ongoing process in his life. It wasn't just once in a while. Pray without ceasing, he writes to the church in Thessalonica. Secondly, when praying for Philemon, Paul thanks God for Philemon's reputation. Look what he says about his love and his faith to the saints and to Jesus Christ in verse 5. Thirdly, he's talking about the testimony of Philemon, and he thanks God for that. He's sharing his faith, verse 6. He was an effective minister in the city where he lived. And Paul thanks God in prayer for Philemon's testimony, sharing the faith. And fourthly, verse 7, Philemon had a ministry and he had a spiritual gift that he was using for the glory of God. And Paul thanks God for the gift and the ministry that Philemon had. And so, God willing, as we begin to look at this prayer and as you think about it this week, hopefully we will learn some principles here of how we should pray when we pray about other believers in the church. And so may God bless his word for today. Amen.